Alice.
Doug.
Did you know that on this day, April 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2009?
2009?
There was the premiere of a little television program called Parks and Recreation.
What? So cute.
It's one of your favorites.
Yeah.
How do you go on knowing that was 15 years ago? You know, this is the 15th anniversary. How do you feel about that?
I guess the same way I feel knowing that How I Met Your Mother was even older than that. Time keeps on slipping.
Slipping?
Slipping.
Into the future.
Yeah!
Yeah! So I guess today is a great day with Alice.
It sure is.
You're allowed to steal that just for today.
Oh, good, because I have another great day with Alice.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah. It's our friend Lauren Wallace's birthday.
What?
Yeah.
Lauren!
My high school and college best friend who joins us on our Extra Life streams.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Laura, is she also 15 years old today? Happy 15th birthday to Parks and Recreation and Alice's best friend.
Yeah.
This is Doug.
And it's also my friend Rachel's birthday.
It can't be all of your friends'
but
birthdays,
but it literally
Alice.
Is.
Yeah, both of them.
Murder is so pedestrian.
Happy birthday to Elliot Handler.
Who is that?
Elliot Handler would be 108 years old today, but he tragically died in 2011.
Oh, no.
Tragically died at only 95 years old.
Gone too soon.
Gone too soon, Alice. Gone too soon. Elliot Handler, of course, the co-founder of toy-making giant Mattel. Along with his...
Oh, Ruth Handler, yeah.
Yes.
Who created Barbie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Way to jump ahead, Alice, but yes. He and his wife, Ruth, developed some of the biggest selling toys in history, including Barbie, created by Ruth, and Hot Wheels.
Oh, wow.
Created by Elliot.
Gender roles.
Right? Isn't that hilarious? So I saw that that Ruth was prominently characterized in the movie Barbie. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
she's played by Rhea Perlman.
I saw that. That's crazy. Well, her ghost, right?
Yes. Specter.
A spectrum.
Yes.
Specter Barbie.
A premonition? I don't know.
Sure. Was it good? Was that role good? Was it fun?
It was fun. It was a moving part of the movie.
Sure, I bet it was. Yeah. Did you know that Barbie and Ken were named after their kids?
I might have known that.
Okay. Maybe the stuff's in the movie. I don't know. Their kids, Barbara and Kenneth.
Ugh.
I know, right? Kenneth played with Matchbox cars.
Of course.
Matchbox were around before Hot Wheels. So Kenneth played with Matchbox cars, so Elliot decided to create a line to compete with Matchbox.
Mm.
He's like, this is what you like.
Like Crispix and Chex.
From last week's... From last 40 week's...
40 years later.
Crispix Chex bonanza that people really need to revisit, yes.
Maybe Chex Mix, like the Crispix version, would be Crispix Bonanza. That's fun. I like it.
Oh... I could go for some Crispix Bonanza,
yeah.
Some melted butter,
some lemon, rosemary, cumin.
Human?
No!
Do you know how the name Mattel came to be?
No.
I found this out too. So the Mattel name came from combining co-founders Harold Matt Mattson and Elliot Handler. So Mattel. So Matt, Elliot, and Ruth founded it together.
Where the hell is Ruth's name?
I don't know if you know this, Alice. Ruth was a woman.
She couldn't even have her own checking account back then.
She was like the president of Mattel for all those years. So she got that. Look, sorry, you don't get the name.
She got all the work.
Did you want it to be called Matt Ruth? Matooth?
What?
Ooh, Matooth! Matooth! See a dentist.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the same ring.
Or Rutel?
Rotel? The
Isn't
tomatoes?
That the tomatoes? See? It doesn't quite work. Rumat?
Rumatant?
So they bought out old Harold Matt Mattson pretty early on.
Mm.
Still kept the name. And then, you know, they just rock and rolled.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Elliot Handler. So what's going on, Alice?
Well, I went to that business humanities training.
Oh, yeah!
Yes.
You talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Alice had, I say had now, no idea what business humanities was. And they told her, don't worry, after a 6-hour course, you'll be ready to teach this in the fall.
Sounds good.
Go on.
Well, let me tell you what happened first. They catered breakfast for us from Panera. And
I'll teach anything for catered breakfast.
And I picked up a bagel. What I thought was an onion bagel, you know, had like the brown squares and spots and whatever.
Sure.
But it wasn't an onion bagel. It was
a ham?
No. It was a cinnamon bagel. What? I didn't even know they had that.
So you, like, as you bit in, you still thought it was onion until you tasted it?
Yeah.
Oh, what a shock to the system. You get something so much better.
Right, like it was a very delicious bagel. And I feel like it would have been worse the other way around.
Oh, it would have been horrible. Yeah. Some little kid's like, Mommy, I want cinnamon.
Cinnamon bagel. And it's onion.
Right. But what is this garbage? I hate you.
The thing is, even when I knew it was an onion bagel, even when I thought it was an onion bagel,
uh-huh,
I spread cinnamon cream cheese on it.
Did you know it was cinnamon cream cheese?
Yes.
No way. No way.
I just want, you know, I'd like flavors.
Some part of the story isn't true. You either knew it was a cinnamon bagel or you thought that was regular spread, non-cinnamon.
One side I put regular cream cheese on. Ugh. The other side was a brown cream cheese and I didn't really care what flavor it was.
Oh my God. I'm about to throw up. To think that you thought you had, right there in your hand, you were like, onion bagel time, onion bagel time. Ooh, cinnamon cream cheese.
That doesn't sound terrible.
It sounds like the worst thing I've ever
Haven't
heard
Haven't you ever caramelized onions? You could probably do that with cinnamon and onions.
I don't like your line of thinking at all. Hmm. I think these are incorrect thoughts. These are impure thoughts. And you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yes, I am. Anyway.
I'm getting that saliva you get in your mouth before you throw up. I got a little bit of
that's
that.
That's gross.
I hope it doesn't. I need to picture something else. I'm trying to picture anything else good, like brownies, but now it's all like onion brownies. nothing's good.
What about caramelized onion brownies?
Oh, stop it.
Did you know that caramelized onions doesn't mean, like, caramel and onions?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Then it shouldn't be that gross. Anyway, so yeah, I think I learned quite a bit at this training. It wasn't as daunting as I thought.
Oh, yeah, business humanities.
Because I'm not teaching business. I'm more teaching humanities, which I know, art and music and writing and literature, through the lens of business. Or is it... Yeah. It's that way, not the other way around.
What were those arts?
It could be art, like fine arts, literature, music, theater.
You know? The humanities.
Didn't I say that?
I just really wanted to say.
I was trying to make a manatee noise, but it sounded just like a scream,
That's
I guess.
Nothing like what manatees sound like. What's wrong with you?
Anyway, so it was so partially, I feel like the course is business ethics or how business is represented in the humanities,
mm-hmm,
which made me think of like crossovers, like dealing with arts and business. For instance, Taylor Swift, you know, like, so that could be, you know, something, the whole business empire and how she creates her art, but also works as a businesswoman. So, you know, maybe students would be into that or not. But I'm sure they'll have opinions on it. And that could be, you know, something we discuss in class.
Okay.
but then also like movies about like representations of business, like The Wolf of Wall Street or Barbie, you know.
Okay.
And then I thought of something business ethics related that's happening in the audiobook world right now. Like a couple weeks ago, a huge scandal broke regarding a romance narrator, a male narrator.
Okay.
Named his pseudonym.
Oh, you're saying his name?
Yes, because he is in the news. Joe Arden.
Oh, okay.
And he's I guess he's rightfully being canceled in a way because he had a Patreon where his fans could get special content of him. And it's this whole world is so sexual, you know. Women love hearing his voice. It's a very sexy voice. And then it came out that like he
sorry. I'll let you finish here in just a second. Special content, does that mean like he does accents for them? Well, you do like whatever voice he wants. Like,
goodness,
like oh, whatever you want me to do.
Wouldn't that be great?
You want me to be a rhinoceros?
A manatee?
Okay, I suppose. Are you okay? Yeah. Okay. So there was your warning, everyone. That was my own little trigger warning for you all, because he was accused of.
Yes, of having illicit and abusive relationships with his fans, but also women at his company. And so that, like, that's stuff, you know, that could be talked about in a business humanities class, talking about the line between ethics in art, you know, because oftentimes we think those things are separate, but they're not. They're very much intertwined. And then another debate with that would be like, to what extent is like sexual voice work sex work, you know, in the way that like OnlyFans have their Patreon accounts. So, you know, he was found taking advantage, and some authors have pulled the books that he narrated and they've like planned to re-record.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And well, and I guess that relates to like Taylor Swift re-recording all her works to own them, or to have ownership, or to not be associated with, you know, other people, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, those are like potential topics, you know, that could be discussed in business humanities. And, you know, it's a minor that could be taken by like English majors, but also business majors who might have interest in creating their own, you know, brands, you know, if they are artists at heart, you know, maybe starting their own companies. Entrepreneurial shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Sounds like you're ready to go.
I hope. There's a textbook. I guess I have to read it.
Yeah. Are your students, are they going to be reading it?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Okay. I guess in case they do, I guess maybe you should. Like, you just throw the book out day one, can't you? It's like, we're gonna go off book.
Oh, yeah, like I'm one of those obnoxious, chaotic Dead Poet Society
seize
professors.
Seize the day. Yeah. But you're not doing it because you want to seize the day and you want all that. You just don't want to prepare. You don't want to read this textbook. But you're masquerading as, yeah, this book's not important. What's important is inside of you.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't seize the day. Isn't there a second part of that quote that actually changes the context of it?
For tomorrow, we eat in hell or something. I don't know how it goes. But yeah, congratulations on your new gig. I'm glad it went well. The training course, mm-hmm. And I hope you're able to fully prepare for that this fall.
Indeed.
It'll be fun that you and your students will kind of be learning together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this joke a while back, you know, when I was a younger teacher. It's like, oh, have you read this book or that book or whatever? Like, I read it. I haven't even taught it yet. Yeah, it seems like a lot of...
I get it.
...exploration, you know? It's just, yeah, we're teaching each other. Because, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, business scandals in, like, current events, you know, that students can bring in.
Sure.
Whatever they're interested in, they can research.
Well, good stuff, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll have to scrounge the news then and try to get some try to get some stories out of that to bring into your class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to find some semi-recent.
Ah, semi-decent.
Maybe some semi-decent.
Semi-recent news. Yeah.
Semi-decent news. Punk edition.
Whoa.
Not really. Hey, Alice, you want to play semi-recent, semi-decent?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. This is a game where I take news from the news world, and then I ask Alice what she thinks happened in the news.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's a great explanation. It'll make sense as we go along. Alice, let's play. Number one, on March 28th, Alice, of 2024.
That was so soon.
Yeah.
So recent.
Semi-recent. A couple weeks. Let's see how decent it is. UPI reports that a Chinese man entered the Guinness World Records by drinking over 1 gallon of water and then doing this.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a guess, Alice?
No.
Okay. We'll go to the multiple choice options then. A, swallowing 74 lit matches.
Whoa.
Okay. B, within 5 minutes, peeing enough to refill the gallon jug. C, bringing it back up and becoming a human fountain for nearly 6 straight minutes.
Oh, my God.
Or D, drinking just over a half gallon of whole milk.
Ew.
What did this dude do after drinking over a gallon of water, Alice?
All of these sound pretty good.
Yeah? Would you try any of these?
No.
Oh, okay.
What are they again?
Swallow 74 lit matches. Within 5 minutes, pee enough to fill up the jug. regurgitate it, if you will. Bring it back up and become a human fountain for nearly 6 straight minutes. Or drink just over a half gallon of whole milk.
I like the matches one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You love fire. Is it the very specific number of 74?
No.
Oh, okay. That's not right. Sorry.
Damn it! You tricked me!
I didn't do it intentionally! You tricked me. You want a second option, or you just want to know what it is?
Is it the peeing it back out?
It is not peeing it back out.
Okay.
No, no. Wow, now you have to keep going.
Yeah. Is it the fountain?
It is the fountain, yes.
That doesn't seem that cool.
You don't think so? I think that's crazy. You drink over a gallon of water, and then you have to regurgitate it back out of your belly, and you have to be a steady stream for, he was like 5 minutes, 51, 52 seconds, something like that.
Yeah, I guess it just can't be right.
What do you mean it can't be right?
It just, yeah. Why would your body do that? Why would you train your body to do that?
Yeah, I read that it's some sort of muscle contraction thing or something that dates back to like the 1700s or 1800s. I don't know. Something people have been doing.
Mm.
I don't know what the reasoning for it is, but there you go.
But not the milk thing. That doesn't sound that impressive.
No? drink a gallon of water and then follow it up with a half gallon of milk?
Eh.
Okay, fine. Well, that one wasn't real, so... All right, Alice, you're 0 for 1, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Number 2 here. This is from a March 27th.
So recent.
2024. Again, UPI article.
What is UPI?
That's a urinary pact infection. A Cheshire, England woman.
Ooh.
Are you a fan?
I know of Cheshire
Cat.
Yeah, because it was named after the cheese that came from that city.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know things. A Cheshire, England woman rescued an abandoned baby hedgehog and took it to a local animal hospital. She was surprised to discover that...
It wasn't a hedgehog.
Do you have a guess on this? We'll just go.
I guess it's that one, yeah.
It wasn't a hedgehog? Okay. Is it A, the hedgehog belonged to the daughter of British actor Daniel Craig?
Wow. Oh.
Wow. B, the hedgehog escaped the shoebox she put it in during the drive and chewed through a stack of nearly 500 pounds.
500 pounds of what?
Okay, Alice. You know, I almost looked up the switchover, the, what's it called, conversion to American dollars, but I thought, no, Alice already knows. C, the hedgehog carried a rare form of rabies that resulted in the vet's office having to quarantine for 72 hours.
Oh, no.
Or D, the hedgehog was not a hedgehog, but instead the pom-pom off the top of a hat. I think you have to go with that because your guess was that it wasn't a hedgehog.
And she got into the Guinness Book of World Records for this?
Nope, that was. You're paying such great attention. She got into the Guinness Book of World Records. You have a guess?
I just like the first one. That sounds cute.
The hedgehog belonged to the daughter of Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig?
Yeah.
The correct answer is not that one. Ugh. No, sorry.
She didn't get to meet James Bond.
She did not. You want to know the correct answer?
Yeah.
It's D. The hedgehog was not a hedgehog. I tried to tell you to take it.
Steer me there, yeah.
I did. But instead, the pom-pom off the top of a hat.
So she took it to the vet.
She found it in the road.
And the vet told them, told her that.
Yeah. It's just a pom-pom. She scooped it up off the road with a box, so she never handled it. She put some cat food in there. And and then overnight, she was concerned because it never moved or pooped.
Oh, my God.
So she took it in there. And, like, they had nothing but glowing things to say about this woman. They said she was an older woman.
Oh.
Whose heart was in the right place. She did everything right.
Mind's not in the right place. That's
oh, my
for
God.
Sure.
They said she was a very well-read woman. Their words.
How would they know she's well-read? What did they do at the vet's office?
They give everybody a test. How do you feel about James Joyce? I'm just here for the hedgehog. Are you? Are you?
Because it's a pom-pom.
They said that if it would have been a hedgehog, she did everything correctly.
Okay. That's cute, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Number three, Alice. There's seven of these total. You ready for number three?
Yeah.
April 15th.
That's so... Wait, what?
2021. Got you for a second. Semi-recent.
It is so semi-recent in the future.
NPR article.
What's NPR?
National Puberty Reduction. It's a natural puberty reduction. A groom in Indonesia and part of the wedding party were guilty of this snafu on his wedding day.
Oh. Well, you know that snafu stands for situation normal, all fucked up.
No. Did you just go over that?
No, it's real. I think it's a military thing.
Oh, like FUBAR?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, like, snafu isn't even a bad thing. It's just saying the normal thing is always fucked up. The status quo.
Okay. Well, okay. I just learned something. And also, I learned the military always uses the F-bomb. What happened here? Is it A, their GPS led them astray, coincidentally taking them to someone else's wedding? B, they accidentally set the minister's robe on fire while lighting multiple symbolic candles.
Those symbolic candles.
Right. C, they locked the bride in a casket while fooling around in another part of the church.
Oh, my God. You're sick, Doug.
You don't know which ones of these I came up with. Or D, thinking it was just the rehearsal, they had a stripper attend, embarrassing the bride in front of everyone.
Aww.
Now, granted, three of those I did come up with.
So you're definitely sick.
Some would say creative.
You're well read.
You know, people write like murder shows and murder movies and stuff.
But murder is so pedestrian.
Okay.
It's depravity that really gets you.
There's no depravity here. What's depraved here? I don't see one bit of deprav.
Start your own Patreon with special pages.
Oh, yeah.
What was the second one?
Who knows? They accidentally set the minister's robe on fire.
That doesn't seem that fun.
With those symbolic candles. That doesn't seem that fun.
Let's say the bride in the casket.
I knew you'd pick that one.
Why?
Because it's the best one, let's be honest. I was really proud of it when I came up with it. Because it's a church. It can hold all these different places at once. It's not real, no. The correct answer is A, their GPS led them astray, coincidentally taking them to someone else's wedding. They got all settled in. They stayed
the
there.
The groom himself was at the altar?
I don't think they got the altar yet, but I mean, you know, beforehand, you're not supposed to see the bride. So they just went and they hung out for a while.
Oh,
and then
the GPS
eventually
took
they figured it out.
To another church or something?
Yeah.
What fun.
That is, that's fun to me. Good old Indonesia churches. They're always having weddings at all times.
Did you phrase the question as they were guilty of?
Of this snafu.
Okay.
I mean, they crashed somebody's wedding thinking it was their own. You don't hear that very often.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Sometimes, Alice. Number four, March 25th, 2024. Semi-recent.
So recent!
From NBC News.
What's that?
No big
cojones.
The Murrieta Police Department. Maybe I'm pronouncing that right. The Murrieta Police Department in Los Angeles legally could no longer share the faces of suspects in nonviolent crimes. They weren't allowed to put those out there on social media anymore, the faces. So for a brief time, they started covering suspects' faces with this.
Tortillas.
That's your guess, okay? Oh, I'm sorry. No. Is it A, Lego heads?
Oh, that feels frivolous.
B,
they just robbed someone.
B, poop emojis. C, characters from The Office.
Wow.
Or D, photos of the daughter of British actor Daniel Craig.
That can't be right. Which probably means it's right. So.
It's Los Angeles.
What do they know about Daniel Craig?
You're right.
Like, I thought the Lego heads was frivolous, but I think the Office characters is even more frivolous. Were the Lego heads, were they, like, personalized to look like them? Or just generic Lego heads?
These are some good, good questions. All will be revealed on the next Going Terribly. Dun, dun, see you later, everyone.
Let's do the Pope emojis.
Pope emojis. Look at all these popes we arrested. Correct answer is Lego heads, of course.
Damn it!
Lego reached out and they said, hey, do you mind not doing that anymore?
Oh.
And I don't know if they were... They were like different heads. And I don't know if they were meant to resemble who they were covering because we couldn't see who they were covering.
Right. They know, though. And that's part of the fun. I bet the sketch artist had fun, like, designing them.
You can see some fun pictures online. There's normal people.
In general?
And then
it's the internet, after all.
Oh, yeah. Number five. We're almost there, Alice. You'll get one of these.
Have I not gotten any?
Sorry. This is from February 25th, 2015.
That's a while ago.
Semi-recent in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
that's true. From eater.com.
What is that?
It's elementary abacus teachings enrollment class.
What?
Those words are all related to class.
But the last letter is R.
KFC in the UK. KFC in the UK became the first chain restaurant to implement this.
Daniel Craig?
Is it A, customers being allowed to come into the kitchen and serve themselves?
Like a buffet.
Is it B, edible coffee cups? You get excited for that one.
I would fuck that up, I think. You know? Like, I'd accidentally eat too much of the cup before my coffee was finished.
You'd be burning. Oh my god, it's everywhere!
You're sick, Doug.
It's like, you're the one doing it! C, a lifetime membership card, good for one free combo meal a day forever.
It doesn't seem that fun.
Or D, selecting your own chicken. Not from live chickens, Alice, but from a collection of photos.
With Lego heads on them.
Which one do you think it is? They all sound wrong, right?
Yes, they're all a mess. Can you repeat them all?
Sure. Customers can come into the kitchen, serve themselves. Edible coffee cups at the KFC. A lifetime membership card for a free combo meal a day. Forever. Or you get to select your own chicken off of a photo lineup at the old KFC.
Let's do the select your own chicken.
Select your own chicken? That's so dark! That's not it. I wish it were it, because I wanted to follow, and that's it.
You're sick.
You wanted it to be true. You have a second guess?
The serve yourself.
No, that's not right either.
Dang, I am not doing well this round.
Wow. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The lifetime membership.
Wow. It's edible coffee cups.
No!
This is amazing.
It's so stupid.
KFC in the UK.
The
two things that
knuckle frappuccino.
Yep, cappuccino.
Knuckle frappuccino cappuccino.
Look, that sounds just as much like a drink as anything else at Starbucks. No, but
I couldn't think of one word that started with a hard K. Kangaroo frappuccino.
Aww.
Cappuccino.
Poor little guy. So coffee at a KFC in the UK. Like, none of this sounds like it goes together. But yes, it's an edible coffee cup. They are made out of cookies shaped like cups that have been wrapped in sugar paper and are lined with a layer of white chocolate.
Oh, so it's a whole dessert. I thought it was like a biodegradable bamboo spoon type thing.
Well, they had to make it appealing, Alice.
I thought they were doing environmentalism.
Well, they are.
Okay.
You don't have to throw it away. You're going to eat it. And if you don't eat it, then it'll biodegrade because it's food.
But it's more calories.
You don't have to eat it.
I don't like this marketing strategy.
Well, here's what's crazy.
Business humanities. This is against humanity. That's what.
Chicken against humanity.
Oh, like Cards Against Humanity. CAH, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think KFC is Kentucky Fried Coffee? Doesn't sound right to me. But anyway, this is from 2015, and I didn't put a lot of research into this, but I haven't seen anything on it since then.
Right.
Like, why haven't we seen this anywhere?
Why did it die out? I feel like it would find its market in the U.S.
Right? Anyway. Two more of these. You're bound to get one.
You sure about that?
No. Number six, April 19th, Alice.
Of?
2021.
Okay.
This is from NPR. A woman in Poland called animal control when she saw this in a lilac tree outside her home.
A pom-pom?
Is it a flying fish?
Oh, dear.
B, a cardboard cutout of a Peeping Tom. C, a croissant.
Uh-huh.
Or D, British actor Daniel Craig's daughter.
Oh, my God.
Which one?
Like, you know, you always make one that's like a running through line, you know?
I don't know what you're talking about. This woman called animal control. Why? What did she see?
What are they again?
A flying fish, a cardboard cutout of a Peeping Tom, a croissant.
Croissant.
Or British actor Daniel Craig's daughter.
That's so stupid. I mean, only one of them is an animal, but I feel like...
It's dark, it's a tree, you can miss-see things.
No, I just thought she saw what it was, but still didn't know who else to call.
Also possible.
Scotland Yard. 999.
Is 999, is it there, 911?
I think so.
Whoa, you're teaching me everything this episode. You taught me about... Whatever it was earlier on you taught me about.
Right, yeah.
I guess it's gone.
Inconsequential stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
Let's do Daniel Craig's daughter, because I think I would regret that the most if it were right.
Right, because you'd be like, oh. The third time, obviously, it's got to be right. It's not, but.
Damn it! I was distracted by this spider crawling up your wall.
Okay, Alice. Blame Mr. Magoo.
Oh, because spiders have a lot of eyes.
Yeah, and he wanders around aimlessly.
That's cute.
Thank you. I mean, I didn't name him, but that was his mama's job. Do you have a second guess, or you just want me to tell you?
Yeah, just tell me.
It's a croissant.
It's a stupid croissant.
She thought it was like a lizard or a bird or something. Sure. And she called, and she was like, hey,
I could see that.
Could you come take care of this? And they got there.
Who is littering croissants?
The French. F the French. Just kidding. I don't know what I care about the French or... number 7, the final one. This is your last chance to make it right, Alice. You can make everything right. You're looking around the room. Are you looking for more spiders?
I'm just tracking Mr. Magoo.
Mrs. Magoo and...
Tyler, too.
They're around here somewhere. You've met little Tyler? He's a good boy. Okay, December 14th, Alice, 2010.
So long ago.
It's semi-recent. Mm. CBS News.
What is that?
Croissant... Before
babka, okay.
Chicks before
sticks.
Yeah. The stick is the penis.
I know. That's why I said it.
So you would say to your girlfriends, "Hey, chicks before sticks."
Yeah, I know.
That's... Oh, sorry. Well, great job, Alice. Okay, from Chicks Before Sticks News. A 52-year-old Wisconsin postal carrier said he wanted to cheer up a woman on his mail rounds who seemed stressed out. But what he did got him fired.
Oh, no.
What did he do, Alice?
He stuck a cardboard cutout of Daniel Craig in her lilac bush.
Way to combine everything.
Thanks.
That was beautiful. That's not correct.
Then he lit her house on fire with 75 matches.
74!
God dang it.
What did he do? Was it A, he altered a college rejection letter to make it appear she was accepted.
Wait, how old is this woman?
I have not told you the age of the woman.
Oh. Well, so she was actually rejected, and then he made it seem like she was accepted?
Because she had seemed stressed out recently.
So he opened her mail and then did this.
Well, he was fired, Alice. Keep in mind, for whatever he did here, he was fired.
Okay. Guilty of the snafu.
Sure. The snafu. He delivered a series of letters to her that he'd been writing every day for the past 3 months.
It's kind of creepy.
See? He delivered a postcard he'd written acting like her deceased husband.
That's bad.
Or D, delivered mail to her office completely naked. So one of those is real.
Yeah.
They're all pretty bad. He probably, you know, he meant well, but he probably should have been fired.
What was this? What are they again?
Altered a college rejection letter to make it look like she was accepted. Delivered a series of letters to her that he'd been writing every day for the past 3 months. Delivered a postcard he'd written acting like her deceased husband. Or delivered mail to her office completely naked.
That one feels a little too much, which makes it probably true.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with the series of letters.
So he wrote her a series of letters.
Yeah.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Thought she'd been stressed out. Hey, you could use these.
Yeah.
You're messed up, Alice.
What?
I'm the dark one.
They don't have to be weird letters.
I'm the effed up one.
I mean, could still get fired for them, but they don't have to be like weird letters. They're just like, you know, funny, how you doing, you know?
Every day, and then never gave them to her.
He was building up a collection. You know?
That's romantic, Doug.
No, it doesn't have to be romantic.
Okay, okay.
He just wanted to cheer her up.
Sure.
I mean, yes, he should be fired. But I don't think he had to have depraved intentions.
Depravity. He was very depraved. No, that's not. That's not it.
Is it the college acceptance?
It sure isn't. No, it's not. Wow, Alice, you have a 50-50 chance to get one right. One, just one this episode. 50-50. Is it he delivered a postcard he'd written acting like her deceased husband, or he delivered mail to her office completely naked?
The postcard.
This is unbelievable.
Well, you heard me answer that it was the naked one, probably. My instincts were just wrong.
Yeah, it's delivered mail to her office completely naked. God. Is the correct answer.
Where was this?
This was in Wisconsin.
In 2010?
It was cold. Yeah, the article is from December 14th, 2010.
His stick must have been shriveled that day.
So, go on.
Yeah, what ages were these people?
I don't know her age. I never got that. But he was 52. And I guess they, you know, from her bringing mail to the office, he had somewhat of a friendly relationship with her. And he could tell that she'd been stressed out. And he said that he was going to show up naked. And she dared him to do it. Not thinking he would do it. And he did it. And he got fired. And then later on, he got arrested.
Later on, he got arrested?
Yeah, I think it like took time to get back to the police people.
So did she call a supervisor or something?
Well, it was in her office. I don't know the story, but it was in an office, so maybe, I'm assuming other people saw.
Hmm.
I don't think she would report, but maybe she did, because she didn't think she, I don't know. You have to look that up. This is the semi-decent news, Alice. It nailed both parts of it.
What?
Semi-recent
hijinks.
And semi-decent. Wow.
Hijinks.
I'm sorry that none snafus. Of those... hijinks and snafus. What you got? You got a game for me or anything?
No.
Well, thanks for playing that. I hope you had a good time, even in the misery of defeat.
I suppose.
Oh.
But in some wins this weekend, perhaps.
Yeah. Win it all, Alice.
Yeah. A play is happening this weekend.
A play?
Yeah, directed by former podcast guest Naeem Mahdi. He's directing Puffs for Children's Theater of Southern Indiana.
I love Naeem Mahdi.
Yes. I thought you were going to say you love Puffs. And I was like, you don't know nothing about Puffs.
I don't know nothing about Puffs, but I know it was very special to you when you were in it. So I think fondly of it just because of its relationship with you.
Yeah. It's a... It's a story of Harry Potter told through the Hufflepuff's eyes, and it kind of follows three Hufflepuffs throughout. And Naeem, Emily Durkholz, and I were the main trio.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't really know any of these kids at Children's Theater of Southern Indiana, so, like, I don't know if I should go.
Sure.
Or, yeah.
Well, you know, don't let that stop you. You've been to concerts or touring shows where you didn't know anybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have time, nobody's pressuring you, but if you're like, I'm free this night, yeah, go ahead and pop over, see what's up. Mm-hmm. I'll do the same.
You'll come with me?
Yeah. If we're both free and everything, then why not?
Okay.
I love me some Naeem.
Yeah.
And this is Children's
Theater of Southern Indiana.
Yes.
Yeah. And then next week, I'm in a play!
I'm not going to that.
Well, yeah, I guess I wouldn't blame you because I have a very minor role. It's the play that's happening at USI, and I've never been in a USI play. Like, yeah, they typically don't have faculty in their plays.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Isn't it, like, usually the students?
Yes, yeah. Okay. But this is The Wolves, and it's a play that follows a girls' soccer team. And it's a very contemporary play in that there's not too much plot. It's really a fly on the turf kind of look at this team.
You know? I'm sorry. Like, in the middle of that, I thought you were saying fly on a turd. Which kind of works even better.
Right? Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just a fly on a turd, uh-huh. You know?
So, like, lots of overlapping dialogue and...
We're just dropping in, throwing some crap around, and moving on with our lives.
Yeah. So, I play a character who just has a monologue at the end, like, at the very end. Soccer mom. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I have a particularly soccer momish vibe.
You'll find it.
But
if you haven't already, I'm sure. I'm sure
the show
have.
Is next week. So yes, yes. I think I'm
probably
ensconced.
Are you in the show the rest of the time and you just don't talk?
No. I only come in at the end.
At the end?
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird. I guess
is
I'd
that
have
a
to
spoiler? I don't know.
I guess I'd have to see it to make it. Seems like at the end you'd want someone important. And a brand new character to all of us. Well, I mean, no spoilers. We'll see. We'll see what's up.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious about how it was written that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a cameo, I guess.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Cameo by Alice Shin. Oh, yeah. Chicks before sticks.
This isn't field hockey, Doug.
That's pretty good. Well, yeah, I'm excited for you.
Yes.
If you're in the Southwest Indiana area, go see Alice.
That's next week.
You can show up for the second act and you'll be good.
It's a 90 minute one act play.
Guess you'll have to get your seats early. If you can figure out when the last 5 minutes will be.
Right, yeah.
The doors open, light pours in, 30 people are standing there. Go Alice! Woo! Right in the middle of your 5 minute monologue. We have garbage fans. Just flies on turds, really. They're all just flies on turds.
Mm-hmm.
We're the turds.
Oh. But what if
some
of our fans, what if they go to St. Louis instead? Okay, because here's another thing that's happening next weekend.
Okay.
So, some of us might remember my Evansville playwriting debut. The conversation about the keys at Evansville Civic Theater.
I've seen that.
So, yeah, that play is getting a reading at First Run Theater in St. Louis.
Dang, girl!
Yay! Big city! I can't go because it's at the same time as the matinee performance of The Wolves next Sunday.
Can you get them to move the matinee performance?
Well, I still wouldn't be able to see it. It's a Saturday and Sunday festival. So, like, if they moved it to Saturday night, I still wouldn't be able to see it.
Can you get them to move it to, like, a weekday? You tell them you are closing their show out, and you are the all-important celebrity cameo.
Let's move it to Monday, can we?
yeah, let's go. Or at least, like, morning or something.
Mm. And, wait, anything that gives you travel time. Which play are you talking to?
Your soccer mom.
Oh.
I forgot the name of the play.
The Wolves.
The Wolves.
I think it'd be easier to move the reading, honestly, because there's no set.
Oh. Yeah, but then you're asking people you don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. You USI people, you're the queen bee around there.
I barely know these people. Well, no, that's not true. I actually, like several of the young women playing these, playing the team, they have been like former composition students of mine, and some are a current, one is a current playwriting student.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of fun seeing them in a different element.
Mm. Well, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for you. Go see Alice B. I assume overbearing.
Such a mom.
I gotta think you're gonna kick at least one referee.
But I guess you got, like, I am the age, perhaps, of someone who could have a, you know, a teen daughter.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you had a kid when you were like 24,
mm-hmm.
then they're out there, they're driving already.
Ugh.
You're old.
I'm seeing myself in like a parallel universe, a bizarro world.
Right? Oh, wait, I'm older than you.
Not by much. Well, at some parts, you're like 3 years older than me. Some parts of the year, because your birthday's at the beginning of the year and mine's at the end.
I think it's always the same amount of time. It's just sometimes...
The numbers are different.
Yes, the numbers are different. Right? I don't think it's like when you say... When there's like a 20-year-old and a 10-year-old, and it's like, oh, I'm double your age.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you're 50, I'll be 100. Like, no, I don't think so. I honestly, after I said that, I had to think, like, wait a
right,
minute.
Is it?
You teach business humanities, not math.